The Other Twitter, this morning's commentary, brought to you by WaFed Bank. Last weekend it was sunny, and so instead of spending the afternoon absorbed in C-SPAN reruns, I dragged a lawn chair out onto the lawn, sat down, and opened up an app which I'd loaded a long time ago but never used. It's called Merlin. And what it does is listen. It listens to birds. And it doesn't just listen to them. It identifies them. Merlin is a service of the Cornell University Ornithology Laboratory, which studies birds and collects high-resolution recordings of their songs. It uses AI and a huge database to detect 684 bird species in real time based on their calls. And when you open the app and you authorize it to use your microphone, it basically starts taking attendance. It was an especially quiet afternoon because everybody was out of town for the holiday, probably doing something extraordinary, except me. I was just sitting there out in the front yard. No kids playing, no cars, not even a leaf blower, just me and the birds. And I hear those birds all the time, but now, using this app, I wasn't just hearing them, I was listening to them. Because with every bird call, a name would pop up on Merlin. And soon I'm seeing names like dark-eyed junco, and black-capped chickadee, and orange-crowned warbler. Suddenly I realized, I'm surrounded by all this exotic wildlife. The song sparrow came up a lot, clearly showing off, and the crows would heckle them because crows hate being upstaged. Then I noticed a hummingbird in the tree right above me, and just like that, the name Anna's Hummingbird popped up on the list, like guests being announced at a royal ball. Then came the chestnut-backed chickadee, the northern flicker, the Steller's jay, all of them tweeting what sounded like the same message over and over again. Yes, they were ripping off Twitter, except because I couldn't understand what they were saying, it sounded like they were all getting along. Maybe they were actually embroiled in furious debates over avian issues, like killer wind turbines, or the bird flu, or who's the dude in the lawn chair, eavesdropping. But since I don't speak bird, it sounded like one big outdoor concert to me. So I highly recommend the Merlin app. It's the only app on my phone that delivers all of the tweets and none of the anxiety. Stop heckling me. That Little Red Heart. This morning's commentary brought to you by WaFed Bank. It was 3 years ago on this show that we ran an interview with a friend of mine, Jeff Siddiqui, about his heart transplant, what it was like to go through a 10-hour operation and wake up 2.5 days later with a stranger's heart in your chest. And he said at the time, it was definitely one of those things that calls for a prayer before you go in.
Essentially, I said, if it's your will that I die, then I'm at peace with it. But if I'm to survive, help me, help someone else as well.
He also told me back then that he was curious to know whose heart was now beating in his chest.
I'm not told the gender, the age, or even the location from where the heart came. All I know is it was a young person.
A 22-year-old man, as it turned out. What neither of us knew when Jeff's interview aired in January of 2020 was that the donor's mom, Corey, had been listening that day. She had lost her son in a motorcycle accident. He was an organ donor, and she had a hunch. So she sent a letter, and sure enough, it was her son's heart keeping Jeff alive. And in April of 2020, Jeff and Corey met the only way it was safe to meet back then, via Zoom.
I dare say Corey and I would have met in person quite a long time ago, but for this COVID business.
If it was up to me and this, we weren't in the middle of this COVID crisis, we would have met already. I can't wait for the opportunity to actually shake his hand, give him a hug.
Well, yesterday in Bellevue, Life Center Northwest held its annual donation celebration where donor families and recipients gathered to share stories and memories. They even have stethoscopes there to hear the hearts that still beat. And I can report to you that Corey and Jeff were there to finally meet in person. I was invited to introduce Jeff's speech to the group, but mostly I just sat there admiring the courage of so many families who at their worst moment wanted to turn their tragedy into a second chance at life for someone else. I also got to meet Connie. We talked a little about what she'd been through, and all I'll say is the world needs people with her kind of faith and that little red heart on their driver's license.
Vote for the liars. This morning's commentary brought to you by WaFed Bank. Wyoming has about 581,000 people, which is about 3/4 the number of people living within the Seattle city limits. And I mention that because I know many of you dismiss Seattle politics as an anomaly. So if you're among them, then Wyoming politics probably aren't worth your time either. But Liz Cheney's race is interesting to me because in her concession speech last night, she suggested that in Wyoming, Republican voters
prefer liars.
2 years ago, I won this primary with 73% of the vote. I could easily have done the same again, but it would have required that I go along with President Trump's lie about the 2020 election and attack the foundations of our republic. That was a path I could not and would not take.
Cheney's platform wasn't that different from her opponent. Against federal land grabs, in favor of more oil and gas production, endorsed by the Wyoming Mining Association. Her opponent, Harriet Hageman, actually campaigned for Cheney in 2016. In fact, in 2016, Hageman was a never-Trumper. She called him racist and xenophobic. She later said she had been lied to by liberals. Now, she calls him America's greatest president and believes the 2020 election was a travesty. And that got her Trump's endorsement. So this wasn't about being conservative. This was about the power of kissing the ring. And it was also a demonstration of the remarkable freedom that we enjoy in this country. We Americans are so free that we can freely vote for someone who would cancel our votes. 65% of Wyoming Republican voters supported a candidate who would have canceled their votes at the whim of an angry president. And that theme was confirmed in the primary for Wyoming Secretary of State as well. The top Republican vote-getter was Chuck Gray, who promises to ban ballot drop boxes. We have the freedom to vote for officials who will make it more difficult to vote. Liz Cheney was defiant last night.
I have said since January 6th that I will do whatever it takes to ensure Donald Trump is never again anywhere near the Oval Office, and I mean it.
But as defiant as she was, she peacefully conceded.
Harriet Hageman has received the most votes in this primary. She won. I called her to concede the race. This primary election is over.
So like I say, Wyoming is our smallest state. I'm pretty sure most voters in America are repelled by any candidate who would nullify votes to stay in power. But if I'm wrong, at least we can look back on Liz Cheney's peaceful concession and remember fondly how it used to be.